we got planned to get to on today's show, but obviously the big news of the weekend was Quinshon Judkins being arrested in Broward County, Florida for misdemeanor domestic violence. We're not going to do, I know when the police report came out, I knew that that's been read on air. I think if you have any history with that, which my family does, it's going to be a little triggering to read. I don't think we need to relitigate that. There are places to find that. But I think, you know, the NFL's declined comment. The Browns have said they're looking into this matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, I, like everyone else, had the same reaction when this came out, which was, oof, not again. And obviously, this harkens back to Michael Hall Jr. last year in August. But it goes beyond that. It goes into the recent Perrion Winfrey. It goes into
Mike McDowell.
Even to a bigger degree, the Deshaun thing. And it really is like I was just kind of turning the corner and being like, cannot wait to see this. Quinshon is a big part of that. And I think that probably was another big gut punch, was equal parts. I think a lot of Browns fans are excited about Quinshon, the player.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had the reminder that, oh, hey, Quinshon's here, which means Nick Chubb isn't. There were just a lot of ways in which that was a gut punch.
Well, the Nick Chubb part of that, too. That's what a lot of people focused in on. It's like, yeah. If you just signed Nick Chubb, we wouldn't have to worry about this. And now we don't know what the running game's going to be at all this upcoming season. Because if it's Ford and Sampson, that's not going to be anything that elicits a bunch of confidence.
Yeah, well, because I don't think anybody sees Jerome, who I think he's...
And I like Jerome. You know I like Jerome.
I think he's almost a little underrated. He put up really good stats last year behind a bad O-line. I still think Jerome can be a significant piece of this thing going forward, even though it looks like he's going to spend one more year here and go off because they've got Judkins and Sampson. But I can't blame Browns fans for looking at this and just putting it as another check mark against Andrew Berry. Because even though the reports on Quinshon were that this was not even on anyone's radar in the pre-draft process,
mm-hmm.
that he was a pretty clean prospect.
Well, so that's what makes this hard for me. It's like, so he's a pretty clean prospect, but are they just avoiding some of what should be red flags, even though you have what is a clean prospect with no off-the-field records? But is there something they're missing, continually missing with some of these guys that are clean until they're not? And also on the other side of this, how much can I actually put at the feet of Andrew Berry when you have somebody that is perceived to be just that, a clean prospect, and then something like this happens, and he's only been in the building for a couple months?
So this is a great point. That first point that you made of how much can you, not how much can you put at Andrew Berry's feet, but like what's your process look like? Teams are, and there's a big reason for it, teams usually skirt the idea of what due diligence they do about people off the field. I think the Browns preceding Andrew Berry have shown you with their handling of Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert on up through other prospects that their process does leave something to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another thing of like, all right, was he clean or did you just not inspect who he was and what might be out there about
Or did you think you're getting a little bit of a, and I didn't get this vibe, by the way, with the NFL draft at all. Did you think you're getting any sort of value with Judkins? Because it's not, no one when they took him at 36 was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that was first round talent that happened to go to 36. It's like, no, he was, you know, maybe second round, early second round, and you got him in the appropriate spot. Like, it's so confusing because, like, Andrew Berry comes from the Howie Roseman, we'll take Jalen Carter and anybody that comes with problems school of thought. And so we know they open their arms to these guys. But in the case of Judkins, how much of this should they actually be tasked with when he hadn't shown any signs previously of being a nuisance or a problem?
Yeah. And I think, because again, I think you have to open the door of, all right, well, what does your process look like? They're not going to tell you that, even though we do know a fair amount of teams might have. They might have a whole team of guys designed to fix situations like this. That doesn't mean that they do the greatest job researching any of these kids. And the reality is, I'd never heard anything like this from Judkins. It doesn't matter. Because it doesn't really matter when you had the Mike Hall thing. Who the reason Mike fell was some immaturity concerns that then played out in the legal system. Perrion was a fourth-round pick when he could have been a second-round pick because of things and maturity issues and things that ended up in the legal system. Obviously, you traded for Deshaun after he was accused of all this stuff and then helped him navigate through the waters of that in a way that didn't necessarily help anyone, including Deshaun trying to get settled here in Cleveland. So, like, when it comes to Quinshon, I'm liable to believe. Like if they really did do a thorough search on him, I'll take their word on it. It's just not going to matter because you've already had your three strikes and then some. So like it becomes a zero sum thing of, well, it didn't really matter if you did this. It didn't really matter how much you investigated him. The reality is, this is what happened, and it's showing a clear sign of off-the-field issues and bringing these guys in. And the problem with that is, when you're Howie Roseman, you can do it because you're winning 13 games a year.
Right.
The sad reality is, in the NFL, you only really get to do this and have this as a habitual part of your program if the on-field results. Fans will look, to some degree, the other way. But that is based in success.
Yeah, but so I think the difference here, though, is so like Howie, for instance, can go after Jalen Carter. And in many instances, the Browns, when Barry was going after Perrion Winfrey, who had elite talent, but obviously went in the fourth round for reasons that we know, or go after Deshaun Watson, or go after any of these other guys that come with known problems ahead of time, I look at that very differently than I look at this with Quinshon. Like, I just do. Now, I do think there's a problem in how they assess people and players and everything under the sun, for sure. But, like, this isn't them taking Quinshon with the idea that he had an incident pop up his junior year, or his, you know, he had an incident pop up at Ole Miss, and all of a sudden, they should have been alarmed to the idea that he's a problem. Like, this is just, this was out of the blue and seemingly out of character for him in many ways.
Yeah, but you still have the track record. Like at some point, there's some disconnect there that if it continues to happen, and I understand, like, some of this guys is just, it is the business you're in. Like you it's very rare you're going to find 54 altar boys at any given point. But if this was the first of the incidents, you could fall back on, man, everybody seemed to think that this wasn't going to be an issue with him. But the reality is, there were just so many things. And I do think, like, I think they have kind of even pointed out with some of their moves that they have, you know, Mason Graham, that's a character guy. Dylan Gabriel is a character guy.
Well, I wonder if they thought Quinshon was a character guy too, though. That's the problem. Like, somewhere in their assessment, they've gotten this wrong. And somewhere in their assessment, but it's so tough to tell them they got it wrong when, I mean, how can you predict somebody's going to eventually allegedly strike a girl that he's dating? Like, that seems like such a hard thing to be like, I know that this is going to eventually happen with this guy, or this guy seems like the type of character to eventually have this happen, when we have no track record of that. It seems so hard to do.
216-474-0092. Should Andrew Berry be taking heat for the latest misstep legally from a Cleveland Browns player, Quinshon Judkins, being arrested for misdemeanor domestic battery over the weekend? And I just think, like, at some point, I can't give you the benefit of the doubt, even if we look at the prospect and understand that there weren't any known issues in the first place. It's kind of your job to know to find out whether there are known issues or not. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians at 3:20. Jace LaViolette. Get ready to know that name. The Gardo's taking him 27th in the first round, and a big change in how they draft. That actually does matter to how we think of the organization anyways. We got the Peterlin Pass coming up at 3:40, and then Sam Bruckhaus, Sumer Sports at 4. We will get into all the ins and outs of where he thinks this Browns team is, where they project the Browns to be, and, of course, the top 10 quarterback list that had a familiar name atop it. Did not please Browns fans altogether, but 216-474-0092. Anik Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Should Andrew Berry be taking heat for this, and what this means for the Browns running back room, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.